Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am excited because today we're shooting on location in the park. So you might hear children screaming. Don't worry, we're not doing anything to them. So I am here with a special guest. This is Kira Manser, and she is representing an entire organization. She's awesome enough that she can represent an entire organization. Well, there's three of you. But you're a powerhouse. All right, so Kira, who are you here to speak for?
I am one of the three educators from Screw Smart.
What is Screw Smart?
Right? Don't screw stupid, screw smart. Screw Smart is a Philadelphia-based, sex-positive sex education collaborative. And so the three women come together and we teach workshops and hold events and do performances all around sex-positive, pleasure-focused sex education for adults.
So all the kids screaming in the background, they're not your target audience?
Nay, not until they turn 18. Yeah.
So that means that you have a little bit more leeway in the content then, and a little bit more freedom in your methods.
Yes, it's true. We can curse and talk about anal sex. It rules.
Speaking of anal sex, like, I think one of the first times I ever saw y'all perform might have been the infamous... Just tell the people about it.
I think it was probably during one of our anal sex numbers where it's called Doorbell, Ring My Doorbell, and we have a stuffed butt puppet piece of equipment that is a prop, and I use it as a prop to teach people about anal sex without having to get naked. And our favorite thing about this is that JD, one of our founders, actually makes these stuffed butt puppets for other sex educators so that they can talk about anal sex and have a model. And Dan Savage found it and put it on Regretzi and said that, you know, it horrified him to find a what looks like a Muppet butt, which is true. It has like a rectum and everything. It's great.
Muppets have butts too.
Yeah.
Muppets have feelings.
Muppets have rectums. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Don't act like you never thought about it. So Screw Smart is an awesome organization, and you have joined forces with Pleasure Rush for a fundraiser that is generating a serious amount of international attention. Not for realsies, it's all over the interwebs.
Awesome.
So what the hell are you doing?
And that is the question that burns on everybody's mind. We are holding the first ever Philadelphia Masturbate-a-thon 2013. This is in the very honorable tradition of Masturbate-a-thons that were started in 1995 by the good folks over in California at Good Vibes, a feminist sex-positive sex shop. And the whole point of it, they declared May as Masturbation Month and decided to hold a celebration that was focused on calling attention to and encouraging people to and talking about masturbation.
So it's kind of comparable to like when you're gonna do like a 5K for some kind of cancer and you're like, hey guys, I'm gonna do this triathlon or I'm gonna do this 5K and you should give money to this awesome cause. So it works under the same premise?
Exactly, yeah. The inspiration for it was a family member of mine was doing a 60-mile bike ride for MS, and I pledged $50 to him so that in support of him doing this bike ride. So that was sort of the model that we used for the Masturbate-a-thon.
And the money for the Masturbate-a-thon goes to what cause?
It goes to support both Screw Smart and Pleasure Rush. So a little bit of background. Pleasure Rush is a sex-positive prevention program run by Galay, which is a nonprofit in the city that focuses on gay and lesbian, Latino causes, HIV prevention mostly. And they are trying to take a new sex-positive approach to prevention, and currently there's not a lot of support if you look towards the traditional avenues for HIV prevention for a sex-positive approach. And so the money will go to support Pleasure Rush, which again takes that sex positive approach, and then the other half of the money will go towards Screw Smart, which does a lot of our events and community work either for free or for almost nothing. So it's a labor of love that none of us get paid to do. So it will support us being able to travel to events, pay for props that we make, pay for educational materials, that kind of stuff.
Let's talk a little bit about why a sex positive approach matters in this sort of thing, because I think a lot of people are like, why do you need, what?
Yes, the ultimate question. So what is sex positive? I think a lot of people mistake it for basically always having like rock hands and being like, sex is awesome. We like to think about sex positivity, or Ikira will explain how I see us approaching sex positivity, as really seeing sexuality as an incredibly powerful force in a lot of people's lives, most people's lives. And so if you're going to be doing education or prevention work, instead of working against people's desire to be sexual and working against and trying to like corral them into what you think is the best form of sexuality, working with the way that people want to express themselves and how they want their sexuality to work, and working within those venues in a harm reduction sense to make sure people have all of the information about the choices that they're making, and then validating the choices that they're making, and making sure that they have access to safer choices if they want to, and that they still feel like a valued and valuable person regardless of what choices they make in terms of their sexual behavior and sexual lifestyle.
So we're talking about this would be wildly in contrast to the abstinence-only model, where there is a not only a very specific tiny parameter under which being sexually human is acceptable. There's a very small window of what is acceptable. But aside from that, if you are outside of that window, not only is that not okay, but that is like egregiously bad to the degree that it's not even just a bad choice, but that you are actually tainted as a human, that your value as a human is diminished. And a lot of people have taken note of Elizabeth Smart. She's, I guess, on the lecture circuit. You might recall her from a few years ago. She was kidnapped and she was held captive and you know, raped by an adult man while she was very young. And she talked about one of the reasons that she was fearful of running away. She had some opportunities to get away that she didn't take, because she felt like since she had been raped, she was so tainted and shamed and diminished in the eyes of her very conservative Mormon upbringing that her value would actually be reduced. And this is, you know, this is on the spectrum of like honor killings after rape and all of these sort of, you know, if you are a female especially and you've been sexually active, your value as a person is actually lessened. And on the other end of that spectrum, but still on that same spectrum, is this, you know, American education model where you're just a bad person, you're a lost cause, the consequences are all up to you now, bud. So this seems in diametric opposition to what most people are actually encountering.
Yeah. Analogy that I was actually thinking about when I was on my way over here. So a common prevention approach, especially in HIV work, is to get people to use condoms. That's like a very common and practical approach. And so I was thinking about it on my way over here. I took my bike, and regardless of the fact that all of my friends have told me numerous times that I should wear my helmet, I, for whatever reason, hate wearing my helmet. I have a helmet. People in my life shame me when I don't wear my helmet. And I had this conversation with my friend who was like, well, I wear my helmet, but I'm also a very aggressive biker. I always wear headphones when I bike. I've been in a few accidents. And so that's why I wear my helmet. And I was thinking about it on the way over here. And I was like, you know, I protect myself when I'm on my bike, not by wearing a helmet, but I'm very cautious when I bike. I never bike into intersections without looking both ways first. I'm a defensive biker. I brake at just even the possibility that something could be happening. I never wear headphones. And so the way that I choose to protect myself is not by wearing a helmet, but I'm still making choices about my own health and safety. And so I think that that is a good analogy for a sex positive approach that looks at people and says, you have a lot of ways that you can choose to protect yourself. And it's not just this one way, just wearing condoms. But there are lots of different ways that you as a self-determined, informed human being can choose. And whatever your choices are, you are as you are a valuable person who can express themselves sexually.
So I'm hearing you talk about this helmet thing, and I want to keep going with this analogy, actually, because, like, I'm sitting right next to my bike helmet. Because, again, we're in the park. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So, like, if you're listening to this in your office and you hear children screaming, hopefully you're also hearing, like, birds and happiness also.
You just feel the sunshine. It'll be great.
Oh, it's delightful. Yeah, so the bike analogy. I didn't used to wear one, and then it took enough getting doored and enough cars pulling out without looking that I was like, you know what? I've been all sorts of careful, and it hasn't been about what I did. It had to do more with other people, because their thing. And so, you know, immediately I'm brought to, as an HIV counselor, I would have people come to me for testing because they had been faithful, but their partner had not. And so sometimes it's not even necessarily about you doing the safest thing. There's just so many more things to it, and we have, you know, I don't know where entirely I'm going with this, but I guess it's more about.
Right. So here's how I will connect it in. So I, by not wearing a helmet, am putting myself at risk without a doubt. That is a choice that I'm making, to put myself at risk. But what's interesting is that the more that my friends sort of shame me, like I might wear my helmet for a day and then decide not to again because I just don't like it. And my friends shaming me or saying I should, as opposed to making me more likely to wear my helmet, just makes me feel shame about not wearing my helmet. And if I do decide to wear one, it will be a choice that I make because of maybe experiences that I've had, or maybe because if I have, you know, something in my life that is worth, you know, that I want to protect, then I'll start wearing a helmet. But like that, those choices that I'll make will be at that time, as opposed to like feeling right now like I should. I'm not doing it.
And I think that this is all very much like, it's very easy to place the judgment on people not making the same sexual choices we think that they should make, and the safest and the most bestest, you know, in our worldview. But very rarely is anybody making 100% safe choices in all of their venues, because, you know, I'm sure that somebody who shamed you about not wearing a helmet smokes. And I'm sure that somebody who would be glad to shame somebody about their sexual behaviors has, you know, engaged in some other risky behavior. They've drank alcohol, you know, that they were given by, you know, somebody they didn't know, or, you know, just whatever. We all make risky decisions all day long. Leaving your house. Leaving your house or not leaving your house. Or speaking to strangers or not speaking to strangers. Or being in a car. Or, like, breathing the air.
We all mitigate risk with what we have and sort of like what our priorities and our values and how we choose to express ourselves. We all make those choices, which is part of being human.
And to bring it back into sexuality, I mean, we're having all these discussions entirely about the consequences of sex, which is the nature of how most sex education is done, is all about the consequences. It's all about preventing certain outcomes specifically. But in reality, most people aren't having sex for the opposite of those reasons. Most people aren't having sex because they want to get pregnant, or, you know, they're actively seeking an STI. Most people are having sex because they're getting something out of it that is either physically or emotionally fulfilling, satisfying, pleasurable.
Right. And so thus you have done the amazing loop around back to sex positive prevention and education, where besides valuing the individual no matter what choices they make, we also talk a lot about some of the amazing and pleasurable and wonderful positive things that can come out of very, very safe behaviors like masturbation, which is a wonderful behavior that doesn't only have to be enjoyed in solo play. Partnered masturbation is a great and one of the safest sexual behaviors that you can engage in. Not only that, I when people ask me, like, well, why do you have to talk about masturbation? I think about how almost 20 years ago at this point, Jocelyn Elders was fired for suggesting even that masturbation could be a safer sex method or prevention method used in the fight against HIV. And even though that was only 20 years ago, there are helicopters overhead coming to get me. There also have not been any high-level public health officials since then who have even dared to talk about masturbation as a prevention strategy. Teaching fantasy and masturbation, teaching different ways to have pleasurable masturbation. So it's one of those things that it's so common, but I think the way that people look at it does not include a sex-positive or prevention approach in that conversation.
So what is the hang-up about masturbation? Why is that so taboo when it is so clearly not it's not adultery, it's not non-consensual on anybody else, it's not dangerous, it's not bad for your health? Why is it so much more unreasonable to discuss that than it is to have open discussions about, man, I can think of so many things are so much worse for anybody. What's the hang up?
Well, it's been interesting since starting the Masturbate-a-thon to see sort of people's reactions. One of the biggest reactions we got at first was people posting on our site and wanting to engage with us in conversations about, like, well, I prefer sex. Sex is better. I prefer, like, partnered sex over masturbation anytime. And it was this weird thing where just talking about masturbation got people's sort of defenses up, where it's almost like they felt like they had to defend partnered sex. So I think part of it is that people see masturbation as a substitute for sex as opposed to just a separate sexual behavior. I think another thing that could come up is that if you talk about masturbation, it's not had in the two more common spaces that we are allowed in society. I'm making quotation marks, which you can't see on the radio, but to talk about sex, which is you can either joke about it, like, oh, that's funny, well, I could never talk about that seriously, or you can judge it, and you can be like, can you believe that such and such a thing happened? And those are the conversations that often people are allowed to have around sex in our society. But if you were to talk straightforwardly and in a serious but still fun way about masturbation, that kind of doesn't fit in any of those spaces where people are comfortable addressing sex in a public space too. Most of the conversations around sex are private conversations, if they're had at all.
So this whole fundraiser is part of May is Masturbation Month. But this week that we are recording this in the delightful helicopter-filled park is also International Clitoris Awareness Week, which, you know, half the people I've mentioned that to were like, I'm aware. I know that it's there. Do you have any thoughts about why this week is important and why such a campaign matters?
Well, so I've actually seen sort of two channels about it, two modes of thought. One of them is that the group that sort of claimed this as Clitoris Awareness Week is a group that does education and awareness around genital mutilation. So it is also bringing people's attention to the fact that while when we think about Clitoris Awareness Week, that might make us giggle and that might make us, not think necessarily about the fact that there are still many female-bodied women who experience genital mutilation, that is out there, and so they're raising awareness about that. And the other part of it that I've heard is that when people think about the clitoris, more people than not that I have met have no idea about the anatomical wonder that is the clitoris, which has as much erectile tissue as male-bodied people. So people who own penises and people who own vaginas have roughly the same amount of erectile tissue, which is pretty cool.
And it's shaped kind of like, what is it, the Enterprise? It's one of the awesome spaceships, but it's mostly inside your body. You can't really see it. It's like behind the labia. So like when you're putting pressure on that general area, it doesn't have to specifically be like flicking the bean specifically, but like that whole region, you're technically giving stimulation to the clitoris, even though you may not be able to see it, which I think is also an element of why this week is important. Yeah, because did you know that? Like, hopefully if you're listening to this, you've probably heard that actually talked about before. But I recommend, like, 3dvulva.com is a great place, or if you want to go, like,
what does it really look like? Because you can like make it move around in 3D from all different angles, and you can look at all sorts of combinations of organs or just the clit or, you know, various things that look like spaceships but are all female goodies that are fun. So is there, like, how will we know if Clitoris Awareness Week has been successful?
How will we know? Hopefully just people are talking about it. That's one of our main goals with our event, which I'm so excited that Clitoris Awareness Week happens to fall in the month of May. But if people are talking about it having those conversations and then being like, oh my God, I had no idea, and then sharing it with a friend. Because the point is that people should have an awareness, and it should be basic knowledge of our sexual anatomy and our pleasure anatomy. And I think the fact that it is so hidden, that it is such a surprise to adults who, you know, some of them are nurses that I've had in classes that have really no idea even about their own bodies or their partner's bodies, or their friends or their family's bodies, you know? So I think it will be successful if people have those conversations and education about the clitoris spread, and then awareness of also the organization that is doing education around genital mutilation is also awareness is raised.
So now obviously everybody's going to go get involved in the Master Betathon. And all right, so that's a lot of buildup, you know, like when you're done, like, are you just done? Like, is that the end of it? Like, what is this going to culminate in?
Awesome. So we are hoping to have a culminating event. You can call it a climax if you will. The event is called Creamium, and it is going to be a live game show hosted by the notorious OMG. And one of our very own, Rebecca Jane, is also going to be hosting it as her drag counter part. So in order to find out more about that interesting and amazing character, you'll have to come. But they're going to be hosting a live game show that the topic is going to be all sexual knowledge, all things sexual. So come and check that out. I know that they are both hilarious, fun, entertaining people. We're going to have fun, amazing questions a la Kinky Quizzo, but even more nerdy and sexy. And what was that?
And when and where?
Oh, it's going to be at Ruba, Club Ruba, at on May 31st, which is a Friday. It's going to be from 9 o'clock until 1 a.m. And after the game show is done, we'll have dancing because... Because fuck yeah.
So if people want to learn more about this fundraiser in particular, or Screw Smart, or Pleasure Rush in general, where do you want to direct them?
I would direct them to both Pleasure Rush and Screw Smart have Facebook pages. Or if you want to find out about the Masturbatathon in particular, you can go to our CrowdRise page, which is www.crowdrise.com/PhillyMasturbate2013.
Slamma jamma. Like, nobody else has that URL. That's amazing. Well, obviously, that's how URLs work. No, like, is there a certain sense of, like, we have... That URL is covered. Like, nobody else can take this away from me.
Yeah,
right. Until 2014.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right. So, again, I want to thank Kira Manser representing Screw Smarts and Pleasure Rush and talking about this super awesome event. And y'all need... I mean, come on. You were going to do it anyway. Or if you weren't going to do it now, here's your impetus. And if you were going to do it anyway, now do it for a good cause.
Come for a cause.
So you heard about why sex positive education is important, and if you believe in it and if you think that you might enjoy this a little bit, you should definitely make this your tax deductible donation for the year.
And it's tax deductible. That's totally true. So when my cats gave me $25, or at least my partner in honor of my cats gave me $25, we're going to be counting that back on our taxes.
Ow! All right. So, yeah, thanks for joining in this lovely park podcast today, Kira.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Timmery. Always. Oh, Dr. Timmery.
Oh. And thank you all for listening, and have a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.